Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. No part of the Hebrew Scriptures has become so universally used and loved as the Psalms. This anthology of 150 poetic songs expresses a great diversity of human emotions, from delight and confidence to pessimism and depression. Divinely inspired, these songs of praise have nurtured the spiritual lives of individuals in many nations. We are especially pleased, therefore, to announce that beginning today, A.J. Overton will bring a series of meditations on the Psalms. The series opens with Psalm 1, The Perfect Man. May these meditations greatly enrich your heart. Mr. Overton.
Thank you and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. We begin today a series of meditations on selected Psalms. The Hebrew Scriptures are divided into three parts: the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. The scroll of the Psalms appears as the head of the third division. The Hebrew title for this exquisite anthology of poetry may be translated Songs of Praise. The word Psalms indicates a poem set to music. The Hebrew text groups the Psalms into five sections, patterned after the five books of Moses. Since King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, composed so many of its lyrics, the ancient rabbis often referred to the Psalms as the Pentateuch of David. Many phases of life know expression in this divinely inspired collection of 150 poetic songs. A great diversity of human emotions, from delight, praise, and confidence to depression, pessimism, and concern, appear throughout its verses. Yet each of the five divisions concludes with a doxology. The Psalms formed preeminently the worship book of the Hebrew people. It nurtured their spiritual life in both private and public worship. It is not surprising that the Psalms also have become so universally used and beloved. The psalmists present Hebrew poetry of the highest quality. The Hebrew poetic forms do not depend upon rhyme and meter. They center instead around a selected thought pattern and manifest special structures of parallelism. In most literatures, the appeal of poetry loses much through translation into another language. The fact that Hebrew poetic parallelisms deal more in the sense or meaning rather than the sound permits the reproduction into other languages with scarcely any loss of force or beauty. This is assuredly God's gracious invitation extended to all peoples of the earth to sing the glory of His name. The Psalms belong chiefly to three periods of Jewish history: the age of King David, the time of King Hezekiah, and the return from Babylonish captivity. There are inclusions from other eras also. One grand relic of the wilderness wanderings is preserved in Psalms 90, the prayer of Moses, the man of God. The earliest remaining Hebrew lyric, however, occurs not in the Psalms, but in the second book of Moses, Exodus. It celebrated the overthrow of Pharaoh in the Red Sea. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. I will exalt Him. Accompanied by the music of the maiden's timbrels, Israel sang antiphonally this splendid Hebrew lyric. This great ode to freedom contains no word to deify some human spirit of liberty. No word exalts Israel's mights or leaders. It is a hymn that was sung exclusively to the glory of God. It has been aptly noted that the people from whom such poetry could spring at so early a period of their history could not have been a rude and ignorant horde. This ancient and lofty hymn possesses the same special characteristics that stamp all later Hebrew poetry, especially the Psalms. There is great practical value in the Psalms. They instruct in the terms of genuine human experience. As a vital part of God's inspired Word, the Psalms possess not only teaching and devotional values, but strong prophetical elements. These point to the promised Messiah and Savior, and speak of the future of Israel and the nations of the world. The first psalm forms the inspired introduction to the entire book. It consists of three stanzas. Stanza 1, verses 1 through 3, describes the godly man, his character, and fruit. Blessed, or happy, is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The words counsel, way, and seat, or dwelling, point to the areas of thinking, behaving, and association where an individual's basic choice of allegiance is made and carried through. The negatives clear the way for the positives. The law of the Lord, the Scriptures, stand in opposition to the counsel of the wicked. The phrase, fruit in its season, shows the distinctiveness and fulfillment of godly character. The unfading leaf assures continuance of usefulness. Stanza 2, verses 4 and 5, contrast the ungodly. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The contrast with the ungodly emphasizes what a man is more than what he sees or feels. The chaff becomes the ultimate of what is useless, a vain and light person. The ungodly will have no justification before the everlasting judge. No place will be found for them among God's people in that day. Stanza 3, verse 6 concludes, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." For God to know the way of the righteous infers not just knowledge, but also his concern about and identification with his own. The word perish depicts a road, a life, that comes to eternal naught or ruin. The way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly separate forever. No third alternative exists. The tenses of the Hebrew verbs in stanza 1 of this psalm may be translated, "hath not walked, nor stood, nor sat." The man who is ultimately pictured here is one who has never taken his own way, nor walked in opposition to God. In Jerusalem some years ago, a man asked his friends, "Now, my brethren, who is this man who never walked in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful?" There was silence. He then continued, "Is he our great father Abraham?" One older Jew said, "No, no, it cannot be Abraham, for he denied his wife and told a lie about her." He further asked, "Could it be then our great lawgiver, Moses?" "No, no," they said, "it cannot be Moses. He killed a man and hid him in the sand." And another added, "And he lost his temper by the water of Meribah." "Well," he continued, "my brethren, who is it? There is some man the Spirit of God is bringing before us. Could it be our great King David?" "Oh, not at all," they cried. "It cannot be David. He committed adultery and had Uriah slain." They were quiet for a few moments, and then one Jew arose and said, "My brethren, I have a book here. It is called the New Testament or Covenant. If I could believe this book, if I could be sure it is true, I would say the man of this first psalm was Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth." "Yes, the man of the first psalm is Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the Blessed. He is the only one who ever went through this world, never walking in the counsel of the ungodly, nor ever standing in the way of sinners. He delighted always in God's law and meditated in it daily. When we thus consider Yeshua, Jesus Christ, as the tree planted by the rivers of water, we are reminded that he once hung upon a tree, the Roman cross planted on Jewish soil. There the eternal Son of God, God's Lamb, took our guilt. There heaven and earth converged. Now in resurrection power he lives, that Jew and Gentile may, by trusting him, become also a tree planted and fruitful. We may be constituted the righteous by personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The way of the ungodly shall perish. King David declared prophetically, "Blessed, happy, are all they who put their trust in him." Will you trust in him?
And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.